We're so happy to be here. Thank you for inviting us. And we did have a great connection with your pastor. He's an awesome guy. I'm sure you know that, or you'd be going to a different church. We really have a great deal of love and respect for you and for what's going on in this house and for what you're carrying for your city, your neighborhoods, your county, your region, for this state. We're just really grateful. So, before I really get started, I want to do some introductions and greetings. And that just made people over there nervous. Don't worry. Our churches, if you could pull up that first video, our church in Africa, every time that we come to the United States, they almost always tell us, please greet the churches in America. Greet the people there. Tell them that although they don't know us face to face, that they have brothers and sisters in Africa that are praying for them and that we're greeting them. And that warms my heart every time. That warms my heart every time. So I want to just show this video, and this is their church service. This is what worship looks like in our church in Africa. There are different expressions of worship everywhere around the world, and this is just any given Sunday what you'll see and hear at church in Ethiopia. Your brothers and sisters are greeting you. I wanted to say hello. So I was really grateful in hearing kind of what is what's been going on in this house and what we've heard in this morning. It just gives me a clear understanding that the Lord is speaking and He's wanting to say something. And I really believe that He's talking a lot about perspective. And He's talking a lot about what it looks like to live in Christ. What does it look like to be His follower? And so I'm going to share a little bit of our story. Our story doesn't always sound like perfect obedience, but that's the reality. And what I want to share today, as much as anything, is that you have an amazing opportunity to say yes to God, to follow Jesus, to be one with Him. And I want to just pray that also. One of the things that happens sometimes is we hear from missionaries and we hear stories from missionaries is that we tend to put them on a pedestal of some kind. And that's really, I don't think that's the Lord's heart, and it's really not in our heart. I don't want you to look at how awesome we are. I want you to look at how simple it is to follow Jesus. I want you to see the possibilities and the opportunities that you all have everywhere that you go. So when you hear what we're talking about, or when you're hearing about Thailand, or you're hearing about Ukraine, that's awesome, but it's got to be about the heart of the Father. It really has to be about who He is and about expressing His love, His light, His glory, and what He's done, the expense that... the expense that He went to bring redemption and freedom for everyone. It's not just us here in the house. It's for everyone. And he paid the highest price. So, Lord, help me. Okay, so, that said, we do have an opportunity also. We have a way, and it's biblical. We have stewardship over the way that we hear, the way that we understand. That's in the parable of the sower. And you will see that. It says at the end of the parable of the sower, when Jesus talks about the different types of soil and the different ways of hearing or not hearing or failing to understand, he says at the end of all of that, he says, take care or take heed or pay attention to the way that you hear. So, Father God, I just pray right now that we would all have ears to hear what it is that you're saying. God, that we would hear your heart directly, that we would hear your word clearly. God, that we would understand in our hearts what it is that you've called each and every one of us to do. Let your love and your glory be manifest in the earth through your body, so the world would know of your love and kindness. In Jesus' name, amen. So, everybody has an opportunity to follow the Lord. Everybody knows the right answer is to say yes, right? When God calls you into something, you say yes, right? Is that good theology, Pastor? He says yes. So my wife and I we had invited someone. We were at a small church in Bellevue, Nebraska. We were youth pastors there, and we had invited a friend of ours to share for the weekend. She came and did some ministry, and she's just an amazing woman of God and great faith. And so she invited us while she was there. She does a lot of short-term mission trips all around the world, and she invited us to go to Africa. And so clearly we said no. So, and she really wanted us to come and thought that we were supposed to be there, and we said no. And so we prayed about it because she asked us to. It seemed like the right thing to do. You know, if someone tells you to pray about it, we will. So we prayed, and long story short, I won't go into all the details. We ended up in Africa for 2 weeks, and we didn't want to go. And we threw a fleece out before the Lord, and the fleece came back with a yes, and we went, oh, crud. Now we have to go. And we really didn't want to. When we got there, it became very clear that this was in the Lord's heart. And how many of you know that when you align yourself with God's heart, that's where life begins. That's where life starts to happen. That's where you see real freedom and real fruit. And it's not about everything going your way. Right? It's not about having perfect circumstances. It's not about everything lining up. And we hear people say these things a lot. And so this is, I want to just shift a perspective. People say these kinds of things to us a lot. They say, well, we would love to do what you're doing, but we can't. And we've got all various different kinds of excuses. And all of those excuses that we hear are excuses that we could have also made. We could have used the same excuses. Well, we don't have the money. Well, we've got children with us. Well, we've got this issue or that issue. There's all kinds of reasons why we didn't have to go or shouldn't go or couldn't go. And it's not that we're awesome. Please understand that. We decided to say yes. And you have an opportunity to say yes also, and then watch the Lord work out the details. That's really all it takes. So we really didn't want to go. It became very clear that we needed to be there, that we were supposed to be there, that God had something for us there, and it was awesome, and we didn't know what that looked like. So for 4 years, I went to work every day. My wife stayed home and prayed and was crying out to the Lord, send us to Africa. Which eventually he did, and we ended up in South Sudan, and that's a very long, dramatic story. We were, after being there for about 2 years, we were caught in a war there, and ultimately what we were going to do there is we were taking care of children. Sudan had been at civil war for about 50 years. There were tons and tons of fatherless children. We discovered that almost half of their population was under the age of 14. Think about that. Half the population under the age of 14. If you want to reach a nation, if you want to shift a culture of violence and war, how do you do that? You find children and you raise them in love. And that's what we set in our hearts to do. And so we were doing that for 2 years. By the time we left South Sudan, we were caring for 10 children. And we had our daughters with us, some of them in this room who were with us in the war. And we were surrounded by opposition soldiers and government soldiers. And our house was in the middle. And bullets were flying. Bombs were exploding. It was terrifying. And God, in his grace and in his sovereignty, led us out of that to safety. So, to keep it very short, our staff led our kids across the border into Ethiopia, and that's the shortest version I can give. It's very dramatic. We saw one incredible miracle after another, after another, after another. It wasn't always what we would have decided, but God knew what he was doing. So, it's really as simple as following Jesus. So, I want to show you some I want to show the slides if I can. I'll just run through those. There's my wife. There's some of our kids. We now in Ethiopia, so we had 10 kids that we were caring for as we were leaving South Sudan. Since arriving in Ethiopia, that was in 2014 when we arrived in Ethiopia, and we're now caring for 30 children. So praise God. We lost everything in the war. It was clothes and bunk beds and water filters and all the things that are needed for life in Africa with kids. All that was gone. All that was left behind. And now we're starting over, and God just is amazing, and we have 30 kids. So there are some of them. There's this is getting ready for school. We've got school uniforms. We are putting not only our kids through school, but we're putting about 10 others through school. We're putting the children of our staff, and also our pastor's children are going through school. So we're doing school fees and uniforms for about 40 children in Ethiopia. You can go to the next one. This is an amazing story. This land, this doesn't look like much except for tall grass. This is land that we had been praying about. We're currently renting a place for us and our 30 children and our 6 full-time staff members to live. So it's a full house. It's crowded. And we're paying rent. And we felt like the time was right for us to be looking to buy land and build something. And what happened was we had made an agreement to purchase about, it was just short of 7 acres, 7 acres of land outside of our little town in Gambela, Ethiopia. And when we sort of finalized everything, all the negotiations were being done through the local pastor. And Kim had said, my wife had said to the pastor, as they were doing the survey, she said, "You watch, when they survey that land, it's going to double." And he chuckled uncomfortably and said, "Well, that would be a great blessing, yes." And she said, "It's going to double." So a few weeks later, he called us and said, "You're not going to believe what happened. We surveyed the land, and it's now 13 acres. If you do the math on that, it's about double." So the indication in our heart is, okay, so we were looking for 6.5 acres or 7 acres. That's what we were looking for. We thought that was awesome. I think God wants to do something. Let's agree with God. Let's don't limit him in what he can and can't do. Let's don't limit ourselves in what we can and can't do. If you know, there's an opportunity always to say no. But there's always an opportunity to say yes. And, you know, I'm going to just look at this real quickly. I'm just going to look at this. You don't have to turn there. In the book of Esther, you know, there's that famous passage that everyone talks about, for such a time as this, right? And we all know that. And what I'm looking at in here, when I read through that, the message, so it's Esther's uncle, right, who's giving her the message about how to help God's people, right? How to help the Jewish people. And she's afraid because she knows she can be killed by the king, right? He's a foreign king. He doesn't have to show her any respect. If she approaches him, she can be killed, right? Everyone knows that story. And so her uncle is encouraging her. And he says, I'll just paraphrase, but he says, you know, just because you're in the royal palace doesn't mean you will be spared. You're as Jewish as we are. It's not going to happen for you any more so than for us. So if you don't say anything, you're definitely going to die. But I'm going to read this here. He says, "For if you fail to speak up now, relief and deliverance will come to the Jews from a different direction." Friends, God already knows what he wants to do. He's already got the plan. He already knows. He knows the end from the beginning. He's already got it. But what if you were called for such a time as this? What if you were called for this time, for this season? My wife and I almost missed it. We said no. We ended up on the plane anyway, and it changed our lives. Our friend who invited us on the trip had said very frankly she was not mincing words when she said this. She said, "My goal in bringing people is I want to bring people over to Africa. I want to ruin their lives so that they can't think about anything else, and then they'll have to go and serve in overseas missions because it's all they know and it's all they want to do." And we thought, right. Well, here we are. So this is the land. Sorry. This is the land. This is the 13 acres. And we had a church, as we were speaking in a church, somebody said, "Well, what are you going to do out there? I mean, there's no water out there. There's no electricity. There's no nothing. You're going to need water." And so they took it upon themselves to start raising funds for wells. And so this is the local church clearing the grass, because you can't get a drilling rig out there. It'll get tangled up in the grass. So they're clearing the grass. We've had a survey done for a water survey done for the land so that we find out the best places that we can drill. So we were actually able to, through some very generous people at the church, and then also we had a private donor said, "What are you missing for the wells?" And we told him, and he just sent the rest of the money. Because what we had told him, because he said, "Well, what's in your heart?" And we said, we want to have, obviously we need wells for our 13 acres. We want to invite, ultimately it's going to be for 200 children. It's going to be, we're going to have to increase the staff. We'll have multi-purpose building. We're going to do education there. We're going to do outreach training. We're going to do missions school there to send out Africans into the African nations. And so we need water for construction. We need water, obviously, to sustain 200 people, 200 children, plus the staff. And we also thought it would be a good idea to drill a well outside for the community. This is a growing area, and there are lots of people there. There's one well in the area, and it's overtaxed already. And so if we have one other well, guess whose gate they're going to come to for water? Wonder if they'll hear the gospel. Wonder if they'll be encouraged to share life and grace and mercy with their neighbors. So, everybody will come to the water. So, go to the next one. Okay, so this is our walk home from church. This guy, you can see where I am with the backpack on there. This guy to my left in the picture is one of our sons. He came to us when he was 15. That was 6 years ago. He's 21 years old now. He's married. He has a son that my wife had the honor of naming. which was awesome. He's running his own business. He's just getting started in that. He's looking at how to be self-sustaining so that he's not always looking for a handout. We did a business training seminar with my nephew, who graduated from Carlson. And my nephew came and did business training. He encouraged people to do very simple as possible, but write business plans, and then he reviewed them, and he actually raised funding for funding about 10 businesses. So we're going to be implementing that when we get back. We're going to be implementing these things. So we've got the money, and we didn't want to just throw money at people and say, go figure it out. Kim and I are going to go back, and we're going to walk people through the process of how to start business, how to sustain business, how to figure out how much money you have in your hand, how much of that can you spend, how much can you use for food, those kinds of things. Those are basics. And so that was a huge, huge thing for us and for our community. And because the mentality has been, there's nothing I can do, there's no jobs. And then that's it. And then that's the end of the discussion. So then we just don't do anything. So what if it's possible to create a business and then you've got something going forever? So as we're walking, I guess what I wanted to show in this picture, it's a little bit symbolic. As I was looking through pictures, it's a little symbolic. Here we are walking home from church, leading children by the hand. We're in the nations making disciples. And here they are. We're making disciples. I think a lot of times we get so caught up in trying to figure out how to do ministry that we forget the simplest things. It's taking people by the hand. It's what Jesus did with his guys. He said, follow me. And then they walked with him 3 years. They did everything he was doing. They heard everything that he said. They were invited in the prayer meetings between he and the Father. That's what we're doing. We're teaching these kids. And this guy on the left has said to us before, he said, when there's peace in South Sudan and when the border opens up and when things are safe, he said, I want to go back to South Sudan and I want to do what you guys are doing. I want to take care of children. He's been watching this for 6 years. And same with his sisters. Same with his brothers. They've been watching for 6 years. They're getting on the job training. Now, we're not going to force anyone to do what we're doing, but we're going to teach them how to, and if they want, they sure can. And we're going to help them. So you can go to the next one. Okay. This is our shameless plea for help. So we're expanding into other areas. We're expanding into the nations. Our main work right now is in Ethiopia. That's where we're well established. And we do have, as I said, we've got a local staff of 6. And I think that's going to be increasing very soon because of the expansion of the work. So we are looking for full-time help, not only in Ethiopia, but we're also expanding into Greece and Romania. And we're reaching refugees in both countries. We're reaching a street community specifically in Romania. A community that has been addicted to drugs and has been living on the street since they were kids. And they're now having children and raising kids in the street. So one of them, as we were there recently, gave his heart to the Lord and was all but insisting that he be baptized. He had said that he wants to leave this life behind and he wants to live for God. That's awesome. That's a miracle. And he's really trying hard, and we believe that he's going to be a leader within that community. He knows those people. He knows how to reach them. He knows how to connect. He knows the language. He's going to reach those people of the community of people living on the street. So we're also looking for... So full-time missions is important. Short-term trips also could be organized. We're certainly open to that. And we're looking for here in the United States, we're looking for administrative assistance, we're looking for web assistance and all that kind of stuff. So I am running short on time, so I'm going to just buzz through a couple of scriptures, and I want you guys just to meditate on these things and think about it. John chapter 20, verse 21 to maybe 22, Jesus is saying this, and I want you to think about this. He's saying, just as the Father sent me, so I am sending you. Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. These are the words of Jesus. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, into all the nations and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all of the things that I've taught you to do. So if he taught those disciples, those 11 guys at that time, to do something, that's what we're to be teaching others to do. So, anyway, think about the way that the Father sent Jesus and that you're being sent the same way. That's powerful. I'm gonna leave it at that, but I do want to show that last video. And this is, again, a shift in perspective. What does God see versus what we see? What if there are 65 million refugees around the world, more than any other time in history? People are suffering. There's all kinds of horrible things. There's a lot of details. But if we would see opportunities, if we would see the hand of God, if we would see the heart of God in the midst of troubles, in the midst of these trials, we would see an opportunity and a place for us to fit. If you are interested in short-term missions, long-term missions, if you're interested in connecting, you can go to our website, which is gatherone.org or keepinghopealivesouthsudan.com. Gatherone.org, it was in there. We can connect somehow, right? Okay, so it's all good. We're good. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Wow. Kim, did you just want to greet the body here? Yeah, we got a minute here.
Don't stone me. I know you're hungry. I just wanted to say hello, and I just wanted to piggyback off of the word that my husband was sharing. Like, for such a time as this, you could feel the weight of that, to step into that. I keep thinking about Romans 8, where it says, all of creation is groaning for the manifestations of the mature sons and daughters. And I believe the mature sons and daughters are standing up in this hour so that creation can stop groaning. And that's going to require our participation to stand up and become mature. So we love you guys. We're really grateful to be here. And I saw earlier when we were praying, there was a clearing. It was like God came in this church. He made a clearing for you. And this laser beam coming down that was precision, and that's your word for this year, is precision. Listen, hear, and obey, and you're good. Amen.
Amen. You aren't necessarily called to go. You're called to say yes to something. Say yes to something. Father, why don't we stand together? If you want prayer, we're going to have prayer teams up here. Boy, how many have been impacted by what Jesus has done here today? I mean, is your heart yearning? Is your heart crying? His kingdom is nearer than it's ever been. If you need prayer, if you just need encouragement, we're going to have some teams up here. If you need healing in your bodies, whatever you need, we've got teams that are just full of the love of Jesus that will pray with you. I would say if you have any inkling to go on the mission field, come on up. Brad and Kim will pray for you. Some of you kids that might not really quite understand or know yet, I want to encourage you to get prayer. And you never know what seed God's going to drop. There's coffee out in the lobby. Love on somebody. Hold somebody. Hug somebody. Encourage somebody. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Jesus, that you are King. And God, that you're so incredibly passionate about loving people. And you use us to love people. So God, as we go from this place, Father, more than a mission field, may a lifestyle become loving people. Lord, the sacrificial covenantal love that wants to give more than what receives. Come, Holy Spirit, empower us, equip us, send us. In Jesus' name, amen.